warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting in studio with David Niles. And we have Jim. Jim's back.
Jim,
it's great. You haven't been here in a while, Jim, so it's really good to have you back.
Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here, too, because... Yeah. We were having to like make up stuff about the yummy scale. Not that that's not par for the course, with regard to the yummy scale, but
for us,
we had to do it.
Yeah. And we're not as good as you are with the yummy scale.
Obviously.
So anyway, yes. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yes.
Just got back from vacation, so I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Dude,
right?
I hate that. That is like the worst. Is like going. There's times where I'll go on vacation knowing I'm gonna come back.
Right.
Absolutely. Like way more exhausted than what I am
right
now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is because you end up staying. You know, you're having a great time with great people, and so you stay up late with these great people, and then you get up early with your fantastic children.
Who decide to get up early,
right?
On your vacation days because they're not sleeping in their original environment, like the regular environment,
right?
Their routines are off, and so they get up early.
Yeah, but we were in Branson over the weekend. We did have a great time. Branson is just a great town for the family, for the young family. It's a town made for us. It's a Christian. It's a very overtly Christian place. We went to the amusement park there, Silver Dollar City.
Oh yes,
which is wonderful. Great time as always.
Did you go to the Dixie Stampede?
No.
Oh, it's just actually I think it's just the Stampede now. I think they nixed the Dixie.
Yeah, we've looked into going. It would cost like $600 for our family to go.
Right.
It's just more. I know it's more than just dinner, right? It's dinner,
right,
and a show.
Right.
We just haven't
pulled the trigger
haven't
there.
Committed to it yet.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't saved enough money.
Right.
We did go see Esther.
Okay.
The play. Incredible.
Really?
Absolutely amazing. Cannot recommend it enough. Put on by the Sight and Sound Theater there in Branson. There's another one in Pennsylvania. They're identical.
Okay. We got a lot of people listening in Pennsylvania.
The theater is astonishing. So it's this theater that wraps around you, okay? And the stage just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And so it's like everywhere you look, it really gives you this immersive experience. And the play Esther was so well done. It's just the story of Esther from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And the play was, it was just amazing. Cannot recommend enough. Go see it. And I think this is the last year
that they're doing it.
So the next one is going to be David, which starts in March of next year.
Man, how do they think they're going to play out Bathsheba?
Well, okay. So this is the whole Branson vibe. You know, in Esther, this is a time period when the Jews had were not living in Jerusalem. They had been conquered by the Persians. King Xerxes
Oh, yeah.
was on the throne, who in reality is nothing like the Xerxes from the movie 300. He's like totally weirdo in that movie.
Yeah.
Actually, he was like a pretty level-headed, like balance, just king.
Mm-hmm. He did think he was divine, but
yeah. But he also treated the Jews fairly and protected them.
At what point in your life do you like convince yourself? You know what?
That I think I'm a god.
I think that I'm a god.
Good question.
Like, for me, what level of pride?
For me, it was third grade.
Yeah.
yeah. But so there's these Persian dancers who come out at one point.
Yeah.
And
could be scandalous.
Yeah. But we're here in Branson, and so they had like long sleeves.
Nice.
I mean, it was like in all this incredibly modest costume. They still looked like Persian dancers, but, you know, they didn't have midriff showing, sure. You know, and it's just like,
thank you,
Branson.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate what you're doing.
Jim, you ever been to Branson? Yes. Jim has been to Branson.
Okay. At the end of the show, this is like, I really appreciated this because, you know, it's a great story of God saving the Hebrew people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil the book for you, but all the Hebrews, they get condemned to death by one of King Xerxes' deceptive advisors mm-hmm. who put out an edict on his behalf, and the king didn't know it, that the edict said, all the Jews must die, because he didn't like them.
Mm. Not good.
Didn't work out well for that advisor in the end. But, you know, so God comes and saves his people. And at the end, some guy came out and said, you know, this has been a great story about God who saves his people, and this is not a story. Not just a story. The same God who saved his people then is alive today. You know, and like had just like a 10-second like invitation to like, hey, don't just think about this as a story.
Yeah.
Okay, because it has actual meaning for you in your life. And I really appreciate it. So if you're going to Branson, definitely see the show.
Good. Yeah. So go see the show, Jim, if you're there. Glenn Moray, that's what we're drinking today.
Is it?
Yes, it's a Space Side. We haven't had a Space Side in a while. Glenmorangie, it's an Elgin Classic, single malt Scotch whiskey, product of Scotland, being it that it's
since it's a Scotch.
Yep. It's 40 ABV. I imagine that it's going to have heavy fruit notes. You know, lime, maybe apricot, orange peel, orange zest, honey.
Mm.
It's probably going to be a little sweet.
Yeah,
my guess.
It's very sweet.
Space, that's just kind of the way they are.
It's quite a sensation, really.
Really? What? Okay, I'm excited to hear the yummy scale, because, and it does it, like, on the nose, you can smell, like...
Yeah, I mean,
it's like the apricot, lime, citrus.
Wow, I really like this, and it's got a nice, warm finish that almost builds. It doesn't dissipate. It almost builds, which is unusual.
Foundationally, like, builds up.
It's like crescendoing still.
So these fruit flavors are indicative of Space Side?
Yes, yeah.
Must be a Space Side guy. Then.
Jim is a Space Side guy.
Jim just 8 years in found out who he was.
Yes, Space Side. Yeah, so typically those
Jim
Space
Spencer,
Sides...
Space Side guy.
Space Side, Highlands, those, they're very similar. And a lot of times, a lot of people don't even make a distinction here. It's a difference without a distinction sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the location is different, however...
the product is
a lot of this
hard to tell. It's like
a lot of the you know,
comes
fruits
out the same,
and a lot of the notes come out very similar.
Right.
So you'll have a lot of more of the almost even the sherry taste to it, even though it's not in a sherry cask. But you have a lot more plum and lime and lemons and orange and zests.
This is really nice. How much was it?
Great news, $39.
What?
Yes, that's another thing about Space Sides that I like is typically not very expensive.
Well, that's a good distinction between a Space Side and a Highland, because a lot of Highlands can
be
expensive.
Yeah, I mean,
not all.
Dalmore's are expensive, but Dalmore's are
Dalmore's is amazing.
Yeah, which is a Highland, but
yeah.
Anyway, so
$39 bucks.
Yummy scale.
4.92.
Out of 5, right? Out of 5, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't even give the affirmative.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, it's his scale.
It is. It's totally his scale.
He can do what he wants.
Weaponized ambiguity, people. Weaponized ambiguity in the yummy scale.
The world that we live in today. Oh man. Yeah, so Mother's Day is coming up.
Oh yeah.
So one of the things that I messed up on.
I'm getting my wife a chainsaw.
What are those really?
You laughed. I actually am. She wanted one. What she wants is a cute little battery operated, like a little bitty chainsaw that she can
for
use.
Limbs.
Because I've given her a safety class on mm-hmm. my chainsaw, mm-hmm. and so she's used it a couple times. She doesn't like to use it, mm-hmm. right? Which I was actually fine with,
right?
Because I never really felt like she got to the point where I said, yeah, go off without me and use the chainsaw.
Right, sure.
So I am getting her a chainsaw for nice. Mother's Day. I should say the kids are getting it for her.
That's right. Of course. Okay, so this actually is a good segue because I absolutely am not a big Father's Day, Mother's Day, Parents' Day, your grandparents, like those type of days, mm-hmm. don't like them. I don't think that they are really like, I think that it's just kind of like the capitalistic, like a way to make money.
Yeah.
And I think that if you, you know, if you love your wife as you're supposed to love her, that every day is a day in which she can feel appreciation.
Sure.
And she should. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I failed to realize, though, that most of the time, it's not necessarily for you to show appreciation to her. It's for the kids to allow yeah. to do that. Yep. Right. And that
lesson I've learned myself.
Yes.
Well.
So I messed up last year. I got problems.
Yeah. And I also have done this where Pamela's like, you didn't even have him make me a card.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, you wanted a card.
Right.
And that's when I realized, like, I guess she does. She did.
She did.
I don't. But
and
she
does. There's some value there that needs to be hashed out on the other side of the break.
Very good.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Adam was just telling us how he hates Mother's Day. Is that what you were saying?
No.
Maybe I misunderstood. Okay. Keep going.
Well, I just don't like, you know, Joseph Bieber talks about like festivities, right?
Yeah, celebrating fake holidays.
Yeah, fake holidays, don't like them.
Not that... Okay, like
we can hash those out.
Like celebrating something like Labor Day, which I think is like a perfect example of something
right.
that he would say, this is dumb.
Right.
We all have to go to work. Work is good. We're not like not having a holiday about labor.
Because a holiday eventually has to be about the divine.
Right, exactly. Now I think with mothers, like Mother Day and Father's Day,
right, right.
You know, I do think
you can,
that there's,
you can link it. You
there's
can link
a
it there.
There's a good there's a distinction to be made.
But for me personally, like I don't like on Father's Day. Like I don't need anything. Like I don't. I don't expect anything.
No. So for me, Father's Day is look. I've been wanting a whatever tool,
right? And
it's
I'm just
kind
buy
of
it.
Expensive,
right? I'm just
and this
buy
is
it.
This is the day I'm just I get to justify mm-hmm. actually buying it, mm-hmm. which also is good because if I didn't have that, then I would just go buy it,
right?
All the time. Okay, and. You know, that's then you're like,
but then I realized
then like, you file bankruptcy,
right? But then I realized as we were talking about before the break, is that most of the time it's actually for your children, right?
Yeah.
It gives the opportunity for your children to show appreciation, to show gratitude, mm-hmm. to show charity, piety towards their mother and father,
right.
And there's where I just missed that.
Mm-hmm.
I was too selfish because I was thinking about like me, like yeah. here's how I think about this. And so I just messed up last year and didn't do appropriate things for Mother's Day to celebrate. And so this year I'm really excited. I hired out a marching band that's going to follow Haley around the whole day.
She would hate that.
But so that would much.
Be awesome.
Yeah. Doing Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes.
Totally.
The whole day.
Boo-doo, boo, boo, doo, doo.
Yeah, can you imagine doing that all day long? That'd be awesome.
And making up new lyrics to it.
Yeah. I'm gonna wash the dishes.
Cause she's the mama.
Anyway.
Up in here.
So make sure, guys, this is a fair warning. Mother's Day is coming up next Sunday. Make sure to show appreciation to your wife, to your own mother.
Dude, I am the worst. Like, this happens to me all the time where it's like, oh, I'm gonna be prepared this year, whether it's birthday, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then it's the day before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, trying to scramble it together and tell the kids, like, you know, waking them up early the next morning, like, you guys need to make a card. Please.
Hurry. Who's construction paper?
I brought you crowns. Oh, yeah. Just stay in bed.
Yeah. So fair warning. This is good.
That was for me. Thank you.
The problem also, though, with this is that I rarely have time with the kids without mom.
Right.
Oh, mom has time with the kids without dad.
It's not fair. See, it's not fair.
Yeah, it's just not like the cards are stacked against us. What are we supposed to do?
Look, yeah, it's set up to fail.
Yeah. So anyway, heads up for all you guys. It's coming up. Another thing that's really exciting is that for our patrons, we have our new study guide for Leisure: The Basis of Culture, study guide coming out. Hopefully this week. I went through the first proof of it already. And we're going to have a little bit of revisions, and so it should be coming out upcoming. So if you've ever wanted to read Leisure, the Basis of Culture by Joseph Pieper, we've talked about this on the show quite a few times.
Yeah.
And you want to have a book group, but you don't really want to be like the guy or the lead guy, you know, because it is kind of intimidating. And like, listen, I'm just reading it for the first time too.
Right.
And you want to make sure you're pulling out
but
things
you still
in
wanna,
the text.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's like quality.
Pick up on the main themes.
Right.
Yeah.
So we provided, we're building out a whole... reading guide, kind of.
Which you absolutely should read this book, because there are, I think, very few books out there that will change the way you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of great books out there. Hopefully, you know, you get something good out of all the good books you read. But I really do think this is one of the books, at least it was for me,
right,
that it really changed the way I looked at life,
right,
and at the world and what we ought to celebrate. And, you know, like, what is our life oriented towards?
Mm-hmm. And how am I living?
And because in the past, it was like, oh, I just didn't even think about these kinds of things.
Right.
And so it just opened my thoughts, mm-hmm, and my wonder, and like began to ponder things that weren't even aware of, you know?
Sure.
So it's great. Fantastic book.
Yeah. And we're going to give it away to all of our patrons, regardless of the level. Right, so
the study guide.
Yeah, the study guide,
not the book.
Right.
You have to buy the book.
Yeah, we're not giving that away. But the study guide will be available to any amount of patrons. So whether it's $4 a month or $100 a month, whatever you can, you know, afford to support, we appreciate it very much, and we just want you guys to read good books together.
$1,000 a month.
Yeah,
yeah, even
yeah, $10,000 a month,
even like, those people.
Yeah. So anyway, go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
If you give us $10,000 a month, I will call you on the first of every month, every year. For forever, as long as you're doing that, I will call you on the first of every month just to check in on you, see how you're doing, see if you need anything.
Okay.
And if you do, I'll send Jim personally to take care of it.
Jim's gonna be flying around, going to all these places. Knocking on the door, the bodyguard for the Catholic Man Show.
Hey, I heard you needed more socks.
Yeah,
so
heard you were a little confused on the yummy scale. I wanted to kind of like hash that out for you.
I brought two things to show you. This is candy.
Oh, man. Okay, so tonight, with it being Mother's Day upcoming, with it being the month of May, which is Mary's month,
mm-hmm,
with us going through renewing, mm-hmm, our consecration to Mary... currently, which is going delightfully. I thought we would talk about Mary, our Blessed Mother, and kind of relate it to the Rosary, the domestic church, the role of Mary within the domestic church, ways that she lived her life, and the virtues that she exuded, and what we can learn from that and incorporate that into the domestic church. And so how I thought I would, we could set it up is maybe, you know, obviously there's four mysteries of the rosary. I thought we'd just do the first one together as the joyful mysteries and kind of go through things that we can pull out from the mysteries and what we can learn from her. And then like encourage you guys to go and do the same thing for the sorrowful, the luminous, and the glorious mysteries. That can be all found like through the text of our fathers. You can read commentaries in the Bible, Champions of the Rosary by Father Donald Calloway. I mean, there's all different sources on the rosary. And so you can kind of do that yourself as well. You can also just read or watch the Passion of the Christ for the sorrowful mysteries. That really helps, you know, kind of make things come to life.
When I pray the sorrowful mysteries,
that's what you think.
My
about.
Mental image is just that movie now.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But so anyway, this is what that's kind of what I wanted to do is like, what can we learn from our Blessed Mother, through the, joyful mysteries, and how can we apply that into our domestic church?
Excellent. Start us off.
Okay. So, so the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. And I think that a lot of people associate that, and rightly so, with just being willing to say yes to the will of the Lord, right? Just being
humility,
just being willing to say thy will be done, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's very true, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to focus on is joy. I want to take a kind of a different angle.
All right.
To the Annunciation and put ourselves into the, the thought process of, Saint Gabriel, the Archangel.
Okay.
And think about how, of course, talking about this from with a spiritual being is a little difficult with words, right? But
yeah, I don't know very many
spiritual beings.
I mean,
pure spirits.
I talk to some.
I know my guardian angel
quite often. Yeah. But it's hard for me to say oh yeah, that guy, he's hilarious.
Right. But the joy that Saint Gabriel had in doing this.
Yeah.
And the joy he had to exude in this moment in his salvation history, of being able to proclaim, what's about to take place is saving the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So angels are messengers. The word angel means messenger. So angel is really more of what they do than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have Gabriel delivering the message,
mm-hmm.
right? If angels are messengers, it's to deliver what message? The message of salvation, right? To at least that's their relationship to us as humans. They are messengers, you know. So here Gabriel is fulfilling the ultimate task, the epitome
mm-hmm.
of the message, bringing the moment of the incarnation, you know, down to
into reality.
But, you know, and whether when the exact incarnation took place, I think it's safe to say it was very soon after this interaction, right? But to be the one to get to go
and
to
this.
The Queen of Heaven,
right? So a saint that I was not familiar with at all from the 6th century, Saint Sophronius.
Yeah, or Sophronius.
Sophronius. He writes about this in the 6th century. Okay, so this is still pretty early in Christianity, right? Here's what he says. He says, "What does the blessed spirit Gabriel say when he is sent to a virgin so perfectly endowed with integrity? How does he present this? The happiest message of all time? But hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Joyfully he brings her the message of joy. How well he realizes that this is an announcement of joy for all people, for all creatures, that it will mean the end of all sorrow." And I really think that obviously if we're fathers showing the glimpse of our father's love, the divine love into our children,
mm-hmm.
How much joy we should be bringing into our domestic church. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. After the penitential season of Lent, it's time to celebrate. Easter is the most important season of the church's liturgical calendar, but we often don't know how to celebrate it. We can rediscover Easter's festivities by extending it through the entire season. It's a full 50 days. I don't know about you guys, but normally we, the Minahans, wake up Easter Sunday to find candy in the Easter baskets. We go to Mass. We maybe have a family dinner, but then it seems like everything goes back to normal the next day. But Easter is the greatest celebration of the Christian year. And with the octave of solemnities and a season of 50 days lasting longer than Lent, we should really be intentional about how we celebrate this. That's why I want to invite you to Easter 50 by Exodus 90. Go to exodus90.com and download the app. Easter 50 will help you take advantage of the entire Easter season as a time of festivity. Now we have the right occasion to celebrate and a community to celebrate it with our family and our fraternity that we've been establishing for over the 90 days. And all we need to do in addition is plan some times to feast and celebrate together. So if you are curious on how to do that, go to exodus90.com, download the app, and join us for Easter 50 as we are sons of the resurrection. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This message, or this episode, is dedicated to Our Lady. Before every episode of the Catholic Man Show, we actually pray a consecration to Our Mary. To Mary.
We do.
Another tradition.
We daily consecrate ourselves here on the Catholic Man Show before every episode.
Another tradition of the show that like just started when we like we're just first starting, we go, hey, we should pray beforehand. What should we pray? And this prayer was
somehow about, you just found this prayer.
Yeah, I had it on a prayer card.
I have never heard it or seen it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Juan knew it in Spanish.
Which it's way better in Spanish.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
he assures us
that it's way better.
But he always says that.
In fact, he would at one point in time he was saying it in Spanish as we were saying it in English.
Yeah,
as we were saying it
we
together.
We had to tell him to stop.
And, yeah, because it was like it's too distracting.
Look, when you're over there doing it in Spanish, it throws me off, bro.
The cadences are off.
Yeah. And for all I know, you're making it up.
So
I'm sure he wasn't.
No.
But yeah. Yeah, so it's my queen and my mother, I give myself entirely to you, and to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mother, as I am your own, keep me, guard me, as your property and possession. Amen. Real short.
Beautiful prayer.
Straight to the point.
That's how I start, actually, my day. When I wake up in the morning, that's the first prayer that I pray.
This one?
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's just a very simple, easy prayer. I think it's a good way to just get things kicked off. Everything that I'm going to do, I offer it up to you.
Mm-hmm. So if it goes bad, it's your fault, kind of.
No, it's definitely mine. So anyway, we're talking about Mary. We're talking
about the
rosary. We're talking about ways we can learn, we're specifically talking about the joyful mystery and things that we can kind of pull out and extract the goods and virtues that we can extract from the joyful mysteries and how we can apply them into the domestic church.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Annunciation and the joy that Saint Gabriel would have to make this announcement to Mary, and how as fathers, our goal as fathers is in fatherhood is to show a glimpse of the true fatherhood who is our Father in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and his divine love, and kind of be kind of the mirror. Or not the mirror, but like the reflection of him and his love to our children, so that when one day we're on our deathbed, that our kids will say, thank you so much for giving me a glimpse of our Father's love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what does that mean, though, is that it means that we should be having joy. Like, that we should be joy. Like, we're Easter people. Alleluia is our song. That we should be excited and joyful because we are living in Christ Jesus. And I think it's very hard sometimes, at least for me, whenever you have a lot of things going on and you're going to soccer practice and dinner and you're trying to make sure that your house is still in order and like you have all, you're still trying to have an intellectual life and you're trying to still, you know, there's just all these different things that are happening and it's very easy to get caught up. I know for me, to the point where it's just like, I'm just trying to get a ritual in place and I'm just do this and this mm-hmm. and then this. And then you end up.
And stuff gets in the way. It's like, no, it's not time for that.
Right.
You know.
And then
fit your family life. Well, it's like, well, I'm supposed to, that's not my routine.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And trying to remember to be playful mm-hmm. as a dad, you know,
Because sometimes, you know, that's something I have to remind myself of when I've got a lot of things to do. I'm like, right, busy, and you know, there's something that I think, no, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for your children's stuff right now because I need to get these other things done. And you just have to remember that, no, actually, they sometimes your priorities are not actually the right priorities,
right?
You know,
and you never know when the last time they're going to ask you that is.
Yeah,
that really haunts me.
That's a sad thing to think about.
That, like, I don't know when the last time Luke will ask me to wrestle.
Right.
You know, and like, how many times does he ask me to wrestle, and I have to say tell him no, and then like when he stops asking me, how much I'm gonna want to. Oh, I wish I could go back in time and just wrestle with him one more time.
Well, he'll probably ask you again here in like 5 years. Once he gets to the point where it's like, actually, he's going to win this time.
Yeah. And
then you're going to say no for a different reason.
Yeah, my motives will be different.
Because, like, last time, son, I...
had to go...
I was down for a week.
Yeah.
Okay, it was bad.
I went through a whole tube of Icy Hot.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
And ibuprofen.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Annunciation, joy. Be a joyful father. Like, bring joy into the domestic church, into your household.
Also, I think humility. So the fruit of the mystery there is humility,
right?
And it's not, you know, it's, I think we think about, oh, Mary's humility, saying, you know, basically, who am I to? Mm-hmm. I'm not worthy to receive this, and that was, she really didn't. She really thought she wasn't, and she wasn't. I mean, as perfect as she was, nobody was worthy to receive, you know, the incarnation like she did, right? But also, to what you're talking about with Angel Gabriel, how unworthy he must have felt to speak to her.
How excited he must have been.
Yeah, who he knew was his own queen. Like who
right.
I presume that he knew. Maybe he didn't at that point. I don't know. Yeah. But he did know who she was, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And he could see, you know, angels, they're able to know and perceive, like, know things about a thing just by seeing it. And so, just by beholding her, he knew who she was,
right?
And her purity, and you know, he would have been, I'm very humbled to get to deliver this message to her,
right? Yeah,
pretty great.
So the next joyful mystery is the Visitation, and in the Catechism of 2223, I highly recommend you guys go read that section of the Catechism because it talks about how to have a domestic church. It talks about how the roles and duties of parents and the roles and duties of children and how to govern the household. And it gives a really good, like, succinct way of, mm-hmm, here's, as a Christian household, how you should be running your household and, like, the roles and duties of each member of the family.
Yeah. So it's just one after 2222.
Correct.
2223. So if that helps you remember.
There you go.
It's just one after 2222.
Sure. So it says in the Catechism, it says, they bear witness, they being the parents, bear witness to this responsibility first, but, and it's talking about, like, building the culture of virtue within the home, right? And teaching the children that they're the first teachers for the children, right?
Yeah.
That they bear this responsibility first by creating a home where tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, and disinterested service are the rule. Mm-hmm. Now, we did a whole episode on these five things with David Williams. If you go back, you can look at roles of parents. We talked about this whole thing, like, with David Williams. It was a great episode.
We need to have him back on.
Yeah, I would love to have him back on. But I really want to focus on this disinterested service aspect. Because here we are. Imagine that the Annunciation just happened. Mary finds out that she is beholding the God-man, right? That she is now... the mother of God, right?
The most important thing in the universe has just happened to her.
Right.
Like, nothing else.
And then what happens?
That's ever happened has been more important than this.
And Gabriel tells her to go and go to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't. He just says, he actually doesn't tell her to go. She goes voluntarily, which is important.
Yeah.
He just says that even your cousin is, you know, now in her sixth month. Mm-hmm.
And what happens is she goes to help her.
Mm-hmm. Instead of what I think would have been totally just to say, like, no, I'm pregnant with God, you know, with the Messiah.
Right.
I should probably stay, like, I need to keep myself safe and, you know, like, a long 100-mile journey by myself, or maybe with Joseph, probably with Joseph, but it's not said right. that he went, but probably he did. It's still a long journey, and she's doing it on foot. It's like, who knows what's going to happen?
She just had the realization that somebody else needed help, and she put away her needs and desires
right.
to go help somebody else.
Yeah.
St. Ambrose talks about this in one of his sermons. He says, when the Virgin knew that she was needed, she did not think up excuses or plead the weakness of her sex, but she left home immediately and hastened to the mountain country to be of service to St. Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues on and he says, like, what is the fruit of this? Like, what happens? He says, the fruits of Mary's visit. Here's what happens. Elizabeth first hears Mary's voice, but John first senses the nearness of grace. Elizabeth heard in a natural way what happened, but John, who's in Elizabeth's, still within the womb,
mm-hmm.
John exalted the mysterious order of grace. So Elizabeth acknowledges Mary, but John responds to Christ.
Right.
So this is beautiful connection of the natural and supernatural order happens. So the natural, natural grace, the natural grace is built upon supernatural graces, right? Or the supernatural grace is built on natural graces is what I meant to say. Like, grace builds or perfects nature.
Yeah.
And when you get the natural things right, namely loving your neighbor, like being charitable, mm-hmm. you give this avenue of grace, the supernatural grace to be infused into you, to where you see things and things happen in a supernatural way.
Right. Yeah, and we get a lot of great things out of this interaction. One of them is the prayer, the Magnificat, which right. is a magnificent
Beautiful.
Prayer. But also, it's believed that John was born without sin. He wasn't conceived without original sin, but this was like the equivalent of his baptism in the womb. And so,
small T tradition. I'm
yes.
Assuming. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, there are many of the church fathers all like agree on this point, and it's a very widely held belief.
Okay.
I don't know where that belief falls within. How big of a T are we talking about in the
sure.
tradition? But yeah, that he was born without sin because this was his encounter with Christ.
But
right
no, notice that it came through because of his mother.
It came through Mary.
No, through his, like,
oh, but
the recognition.
His, well, his mother too, but
right.
it was without Mary bringing Christ to him.
Right.
Which is what she does, which is her, who she is, her vocation as a creature.
Right.
Which she was made for. It wouldn't have happened.
It's just so beautiful to think about.
Totally.
We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about Mary. And how we can benefit from the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, what we can bring into our own domestic churches, what they can teach us, how we can do better.
Yeah. By the way, we wrote a book on the domestic church with our wives called Living Beyond Sunday, Making Your Home a Holy Place by Ascension Press. You can go check that book out. I think it's like $11.95 or something. It's like less than $12.
Mm-hmm.
Small, short book, about 104 pages or so. Very easy to read. If you're looking for a book of like a beginner, easy level, like how do I live the Catholic faith within my home?
Yeah.
We wrote that book for you.
Yes.
You can go check that
yes.
out.
Yes. Great wedding gift.
Great. Yeah, absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about the visitation, disinterested service, Mary like having disinterested service in like the thing that her needs.
Which
but,
we
like,
didn't define disinterested service is service just for its own sake, right?
That's
I'm
right.
not looking to get anything back.
Right.
I'm just doing it. I don't have any interest in my service. I'm just serving.
No quid pro quo.
Right.
Or
exactly.
Like that.
Right. Very. Very.
And the way you develop this is charity, right? Because you stop thinking about your needs, but the needs of those around you. And
yeah.
this is what we're trying to do within the home, right? Is instill in our children that we do certain things within the home for the sake of the family.
Yeah.
Not because, oh, you're going to get extra playing time outside, or you're going to get a cookie after dinner, or you're going to get, you know, you're not going to get anything in return,
yeah.
but that the family needs you, and every person within the family has a duty and a responsibility to serve one another within the family.
Yeah.
And so whether that's a very small thing, like your job is to clean the light switches every Monday,
mm-hmm.
or whether it is you are supposed to pick up all the laundry and put it onto the couch to be folded, or
yeah.
whatever the small task is, or big task it is, like whatever it is, it's an understanding and orientation towards the service of something greater and higher than themselves.
Yeah, I think there's something as a culture, I don't want to get too far afield here, but the chores we give our children, I think that we underestimate the capabilities of children big time when it comes to these kinds of things. But I do think that it's an essential... We just don't put chores, which is essentially just service to the household.
Mm-hmm.
We don't... I don't think most people put that at a high enough level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think a lot of people would disagree with me on this, but I actually think that chores come before homework.
Mm.
Okay? Your duty to the household is your primary duty. Okay? And then your duty outside of the household comes next.
Hmm.
Okay? I'm very willing to for people to disagree with me on that. That's no problem. But I do think that
would you like them to send you emails disorder? About it?
If you do, like in 5 years or so, I might get back to you. I don't know, but someday you will have a household. And I don't want to downplay math homework. You need to do math homework. You need to do your math homework. You need to know math, okay? But someday you might not actually be using all that much math. But you will definitely need to know how to be a contributing member to a household, okay? This is not something that we can shirk on, okay? So if math is important, how much more important mm-hmm. is it that you have the skills and understanding of what it means to be a participating member of a household?
Because the family is the building block of society, right?
So
if you don't get the family right, as we have seen over the course of the last 50 years, that when we do not get the family right, society goes amok.
At the end of the day, and the thing is, these are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
But virtue is more important than intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay? And so whether you're getting good grades, once again, they're not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I think that we have made a mistake in this country about elevating education. It's almost like the God that, you know, we worship often, you know, and it's a good that we need to pursue and be valued for its own sake, because it really is a good, but it shouldn't come at the cost of what I believe are actually higher goods.
Mm-hmm.
So
totally agree. Okay. So the third mystery of the dreadful mystery is the nativity. And this is going to be kind of interesting, because I don't think that most people would consider this kind of the fruit of the nativity, right? The fruit of the mystery of the nativity. But I want to talk about it anyway, because I think that this is what orients, or the end of the fruits, which would be obedience.
Mm-hmm.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church in 144, another easy number to remember, 144, go check that out, talks about like obedience and obeying, and talks about actually the Virgin Mary in this very thing. It says, to obey in faith is to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by God, who is truth itself. Abraham is the model of such obedience offered to us by sacred scripture, but the Virgin Mary is its most perfect embodiment. Right, she never ceases to believe in the fulfillment of God's word. And so the church venerates in Mary the purest realization of faith. And so like what happens, because she does not waver in what God tells her. She is obedient to God's will, even though like her will is, may, you know, from a human natural level, may say like, how could that be, you know, that I'm not with man,
mm-hmm.
yet this is happening.
Yeah.
She still says, thy will be done. She gives her fiat. And St. Gregory has this beautiful saying. He says that obedience is the one virtue that inserts and engenders in the soul all the virtues. And after inserting itself, it preserves them. And so the Christian lifestyle is like, if you can't understand and embody the virtue of obedience, you're just going to really struggle.
Yeah.
Because it gives so much.
It's such a gift.
The paradoxical beauty is that it gives you so much freedom.
Oh, yeah. Obedience is such a gift. In fact, there are certain parts of, there are certain times in the church where I feel like, well, where are the rules? Where's the do the red, say the black in this aspect of the Christian life? And it's just one of those.
It's the other way around, by the way, but that's fine.
You're right. It is the other way around. Thank you. But it's just one of those things where there's too much variability. And so the church doesn't, in her wisdom, has not laid out these rigid things. But it's I am sitting here no, because I want to follow, I have just got to the point where I love having and being obedient, because it really does. It is freeing. It's weird to think about me being selfish in wanting to be obedient. Okay. But I have actually caught myself in that exact, this is just me being selfish, wanting to be told what to do.
Right.
And that doesn't sound like a selfish thing, but it, once you appreciate obedience for what it is and how freeing it is, it actually is something
freeing up to
that you really desire.
Into salvation, right? So St. Irenaeus talks about this, I believe, in the second century. Here's what he says about obedience in our Blessed Mother. He says, being obedient, she became the cause of salvation for herself and for the whole human race. The knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. What the Virgin Eve bound through her disbelief, Mary loosened by her faith.
Love it.
Right? And so here's the relationship of obedience. The relationship between obedience and humility and generosity is almost intertwined. You can't almost separate the separate them, right? Because obedience is saying, I'm going to do, there's humility involved there to say, okay, not my will be done, but your will be done. That there's a higher good that's being called, that's calling me to something that I may not even understand, but I'm willing to say, okay, our Lord, you know better than I do, and you are truth itself. And if you're calling me to that, then I'm going to do that, even if I don't understand what you're calling me to, or I don't believe in that, believe in what you're really wanting me to do. And what ends up happening is the humility and generosity, you can't separate the two. In fact, St. Francis de Sales talks about this. He says the humility that does not produce generosity is undoubtedly false.
Mm.
Right? And so what does that relationship mean?
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. And Pope Leo XIII, he talks about this relationship between obedience, generosity, and our Blessed Mother. He says the relationship between obedience, generosity, and the mediatrix of grace, he says this in a papal encyclical. He says, the recourse we have to Mary in prayer follow upon the office she continually fills by the side of the throne of God as the mediatrix of divine grace. And she gets this from what she's called to do in this role in salvation history. But what happens is her humility of saying, yes, not my will, but your will be done. What ends up happening is that you end up desiring, giving that to other people. What happens when you get this gift of salvation is that you want to just share it with everybody else, right? And this is the understanding mediatrix of all graces of our Blessed Mother, is that she is the one, because she said, yes, all the grace from our Lord mediates through her to all of the world, to all of humankind,
right? Yeah.
Right? Mankind.
Christ chooses her as the vessel by which he comes to humanity. He gets his humanity from her. And so the way he comes to us is always through her, because that's how we got here, right. So...
And so we're out of time on Catholic Radio, but check us out on the podcast because I want to talk about, like, what does that fruit mean obedience-wise within the household of the domestic church?
Very good.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
So I do want to make a correction to you, just real quick.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I don't think you actually meant to say this, but the nativity, the fruit of this mystery is actually not obedience.
Oh, I said it's not, I meant to say.
Okay, I may have misheard you, yeah.
I said, like, I don't think that most people would think that the fruit of the mystery of the nativity is obedience. And maybe I didn't clarify, it's like, because I agree, because it's not.
Okay, yes. I didn't understand what you, yeah, because it's actually spirit of poverty.
Spirit of poverty, right. Yeah. But you're correct.
And the next one is obedience, though.
Yes,
in the circumcision.
Right.
Or presentation, yeah. Same, same.
But so, like, how do we incorporate that, David? Like, how would you say you incorporate that? That, like, do you have a thought, you know, kind of putting it on the spot, but, like, do you have this idea of, like, okay, how obedience and humility of saying, like, because obviously when you are a man and woman, you're one, you know, you're one together, right? So, like, mm-hmm. there is a mutually obedience to one another, like, and a humility of, like, no, not my will be, but us together.
Sure.
And what is the fruits of that?
I mean, like, how do I do that? How do I play that out in my own?
Yeah, I mean, like, what is obedient, like marital obedience to one another? Like, how does that look like? What does that look like?
Well, like, I'm just trying to think about the ways I demonstrate that for my children.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things we kind of casually talk about, sometimes jokingly, but not. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll tell the kids a lot that I always do everything your mother asks me to do. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, if your mother asks me to do it, I do everything she asks of me. And that's not a joke. I mean, I really do. Or at least I try. Sometimes I don't realize that she's asking something of me, which is a problem. All right.
Communication.
Look, we still got problems. All right. But so, like, that's one thing I'll talk about. And we talk about obedience. I talk about obedience with the kids a lot. Sometimes it's when they're getting in trouble for having a lack of obedience. Right. And I try to make it clear to them that the reason that is obedience is so important to me for them is because they need to learn to obey me so that they will ultimately learn to obey their Father in heaven. And I mm-hmm. am very upfront and clear with this, that I actually don't care as much about, it's not actually about obeying me. Practically, like here right now it is, but that's actually not really what it's about. But that if you don't obey me, then you won't obey him. And that's the important thing, is that you ultimately learn to obey God.
Right.
But you won't ever learn that until you can learn to obey me.
Right. Because the role of the father is, like, to cultivate virtue within the family, right?
Right.
Within the household. And, like, listen, your will is going crazy right now because you're a little kid, right? And your will is not oriented towards the higher goods. Mm-hmm. I understand. I'm a 37-year-old man, and my will is not still oriented towards the higher goods in many circumstances,
right?
But my job as a father is to discipline you and to protect you from certain things so that your will can see and desire the higher goods.
It's funny because actually tonight at dinner, we had kind of like this surprising conversation about obedience.
Obediential potency or just?
No, just obedience.
Oh, okay.
One of the kids today asked about how come someone like received communion in the hand, which they see every Sunday. I'm not sure.
Right.
We were at a different parish. We were at a church in Branson this morning. Yeah. And so I don't know. It was Lady of the Lake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they asked about it. And I said, well, you know, it's my opinion that receiving on the tongue is a more reverent way to receive. That's, you know, so in our family, that's the decision I've made, you know, and one of my daughters, Bernadette, said, like, yeah, cause you know, you're the one who decides that for us. And it was like, well, okay, yes, you know, like,
But she was like, just very clear, like, what? Yep, because Dad, you're the one who decides.
But that's a beautiful thing, right? Because ultimately, that's a freeing thing that she just realized. Like, I don't have to worry about that.
I don't have to worry about this. Right, like, exactly.
Dad. And
that's what I talked to them about. It's like, yes, you're right. I have made these decisions. In fact, I make a lot of the decisions for you. Mm-hmm. Most of the decisions I make for you.
So that you don't have to.
Right. But there is a responsibility that goes along with this. And so we talked about this for just a little while about how...
At 32 minutes.
Right. And it's like, well, let me pull the chalkboard over, you know, about how the person, yes.
Get your Fulton Sheen on, just slaying away on the chalkboard.
Exactly. And how the responsibility you have when you're the one making the decisions, because ultimately you're the one who will be judged according to them. It's not the people who are following the decisions you make.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that it wasn't conversation that usually comes up at dinner.
Right.
But it did today. And here we are talking about it again. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So the fourth joyful mystery is the presentation of Jesus in the temple. We're going to talk about longanimity. We asked Father Bonaventure Chapman one of the episodes not too long ago, asking him about the definition of longanimity. Like, what does it mean? How long does it take, you know, until you reach longanimity? And he very wisely, I think, instructed us that no, it's not necessarily the amount of time, but the disposition of the soul in which to receive the understanding of that you may be suffering for a long period of time, and to receive that with a charitable and loving heart, so that this is just the cross that I'm willing, like, I'm being called to bear.
Because virtue is a habitual disposition.
Right.
So are you disposed to receive this, what you think will be long suffering? Are you readily disposed to receive it with grace?
Right. Yeah.
Habitually disposed.
Habitually. Yeah. And Father James, is it Alberoni? I think it is. Anyway, he's like, he's one of the priests. He passed away not too long ago, but he's like one that like really got started with Catholic media and television and things like that. Like really pushed Catholic being Catholic on TV.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think he's like I think he may be a blessed at this point.
Sweet.
Anyway, yeah. He talked about this in the presentation of the temple. He said, what impression these words, meaning Luke 2, when Mary and visits or sees Simeon, and he claims that, hey, this is the Lord, the one
during
that I've been
the presentation.
Waiting for. Yeah, this is the one I've been waiting for, right? That must have made on Mary's soul, right? From that moment on, always before her eyes, she had the vision of persecution, of calumny, of anxieties, of agony, and of death. Because she, at that point in time, she became the mother of sorrows,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
The sword pierced her heart,
mm-hmm,
because she knew that her son was going to suffer and die for the whole world,
right?
And as a
based on the things that he had said,
but yeah, based on, I mean, I think she already knew that he was the savior, but like, I don't know how
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, you know, like what she knew at what time,
right?
But
I mean, think about this.
But based on what Simeon says to her here about, you know, he will be for the fall and rise of many, and like a sword, your own heart will pierce,
mm-hmm,
so that the hearts of many will be revealed. You know, she would have known a lot what that meant,
mm-hmm,
at a minimum.
But I think that a lot of parents can relate to this, right? That that there are times in which, in your state in life, that your children decide to do, however they old they are, you know, different things in their life that cause you sorrow, that cause you grief. Not that Jesus, this is a poor analogy, because it's not like that Jesus was giving her sorrow or grief.
Right.
But like, but that
he wasn't breaking her heart.
Right. But that, you know, there's times in which that our children turn away from like what we have, you know, instructed them, or what we at least attempted to instruct them, or maybe we haven't, and like we're just now learning about like the ways of the faith, and we're trying to kind of make up for the times in which we, you know, we should have been instructing, but we didn't, because we didn't, through no fault of our own, knew about the faith fully. You know, we're coming to a realization.
Sure.
And there are times in which, you know, that our children are, you know, causing us heartache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in one way or another. And like, I think every man can agree that I would much rather suffer physically than suffer spiritually or emotionally,
sure. Oh,
right?
Yeah, like, yeah, totally.
Like, I would much rather hurt pain, like in a physical way,
yeah,
than to see like my child choosing to do something that is going to hurt his or her soul for eternity, yeah, right?
Definitely, just break my arm, Pepe Le Pew.
Right, break. He actually did it.
He actually did it.
I thought that was actually a really good, you know, I thought crepes were just really thin pancakes.
Sounds like a pretty good compromise.
Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, I love those. Sorry. We should.
But like, you know, there are times in which our, you know, we see St. Monica and like, what does she do? But with the St. Augustine, right? Like there are times in which.
Yeah. Talk about the suffering and sorrow she must have felt watching her son live the life he lived for so long. So long.
30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time.
And like the tough part is that. Once you become like, once you know the truth, and like your soul is in a disposition to receive the truth, and your conscience kind of becomes clear, and like you can just see reality for what it truly is instead of like how you used to live. Like, how many of us used to think, oh, yeah, I'm just living my life the way I want to live in college. And then, like, oh, yeah, the things I'm doing, they're not a sin. And then, like, you grow and you mature. And then you look back and you're like, I can't believe I didn't think that was, like, a wrong thing to do.
Right.
And like, you would never want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You have no desire to do that anymore. And it's like, that's just not a lifestyle I would choose to live. Right. I can't believe I thought that was an okay thing.
I can remember the point in my life several years after college where... And it was like a decisive moment where all of a sudden I realized if I could go back in college, I would do it totally differently, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
That, and hopefully, depending on what kind of college you had, but if you're like the average college person, hopefully we all have that moment, mm-hmm. right? Or just about your life in
general.
But
I think you have to be willing to say, like, listen, I could be the instrument of the salvation of not only my own soul, but for those of my family by taking on this cross. This may be the instrument in which the Lord has given me for the salvation of me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the disposition of longanimity is, right? Being willing to suffer.
For a long time.
For a long time.
Be willing to take all the suffering.
And whether God chooses, you know, for the time period, it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm just willing to do that, right?
Right.
And this is what Mary beautifully does, you know, at this moment in time, is be willing to say...
Right. Who may have suffered from this moment on, had an interior, like the kind of suffering you're talking about.
Right.
That emotional... but she bore it with such a resignation. You know, it was a suffering, but it wasn't like a burden,
mm-hmm.
I think is probably maybe the right way to say it. It was a joy because she knew this is what the Lord was asking her.
Right.
There's a line I really like in The Passion of the Christ when Mary is watching her son endure his passion, and she says, "When, son, will you choose to be delivered from this?" Right? So she's just watching him, and she's watching in agony, right, as her son is suffering.
Of course.
Yet she doesn't lose a single ounce of faith, and she, or, you know, she totally knows
that it's unwavered.
He is in absolute control,
mm-hmm.
and still says, "When will you choose to be delivered from this?" Not for her own sake.
Right.
Right, but for his, you know, right. while she's sitting there with all of this, I just really love that line, and I think it demonstrates this point about her virtue of longanimity,
right,
in a good way.
Our wives actually, not to plug our book again, but I'm going to, like, our wives actually write a beautiful chapter about this in Our Lady of Sorrows.
Our Lady of Sorrows,
On motherhood, with Living Beyond Sunday, so you can go check that out.
Can I tell you another interesting small T tradition?
Yes, please.
It's about Simeon. This is definitely small T, okay?
Okay.
But once again, I like them all.
Is there smaller than small T?
Maybe. I don't know. Don't ask me that question. There is a tradition that Simeon was a Bible copyist. So, like a monk who was sitting there.
Scribe.
Scribe, copying the Bible. And Because, you know, back then it was took a very long time to get a whole copy of the Old Testament.
The amount of hand cramps that occurred during that time period had to be just crazy.
And so when he came to the prophecy that's, is it in Isaiah? I don't.
Ezekiel, I think.
Ezekiel, I don't remember where it is. But where he said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
Oh, that's Isaiah, I think, yeah.
He wrote a young woman because he thought this isn't possible because, you know, that sounds reasonable. Like, well, virgins don't get pregnant.
Right.
Okay. I don't know much, but I do know this.
I have some poetic knowledge.
And the tradition says that an angel appeared to him and said something to be like, oh, you have doubted the prophecy of our Lord. Like the word of God you have doubted. You will be cursed to walk this planet. You will be cursed to walk the earth until you have seen it with your own eyes. And that he was like 270 years old when this happened. And that's why he says, like, finally, at last, Lord, I have seen it. You can now take me, because he had lived an extraordinarily long life.
Is that a life Mary is seen by the mystics? Is that
no? I don't remember. I think it was like in one of the Bible studies I've done,
okay.
Where just the guy just kind of like threw that out there.
Sure,
but I believe I did look up the Wikipedia page dedicated to that story.
There is. Wow.
I think there's a Wikipedia page about it, so it's got to be true.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, Wikipedia is never wrong.
Right. So anyway, once again,
I do like that though. That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It is. There's a lot of beauty in it, and might not be true. Totally might not be true. But even if it isn't, once again, it's still a great story.
Yeah.
And it does make sense, that story. Like his response when he does hold the Christ child.
Yeah.
He clearly was told that he wasn't going to die until this happened.
Right.
I mean, that part is clear. So anyway, cool story.
Yeah. Okay. So the fifth mystery of the joyful mystery is finding Jesus in the temple. And I think this is very interesting because we don't know. This is like one of the only times we know anything about Jesus between his birth and then his public ministry.
Right.
In fact, this is the first time that we have record of Jesus saying anything.
Correct.
Right. And so the first words of Jesus.
And one of Mary's few lines as well. She doesn't have very many.
Yeah, that's true. So Pope Paul VI talks about this. He says the first words of Jesus recorded in the Gospels are found in answer to Mary's question in the temple. He said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And he said, like, taken literally in the Greek, is in the things of my Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's translated, "I must have been about my Father's business."
Business, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, imagine Mary and Joseph, like, no, at least Mary, presumably we say Joseph probably knew as well.
I think Joseph knew.
Yeah, I'm in that camp for sure. But here they are. He's 12 years old, 13 years old, whatever he is, and they're leaving. And this is like every parent who has, you know, can relate to this, right? Like, I thought it was you. And they have lost the Son of God.
We lost the Messiah.
Yeah. And for multiple days.
We are totally going to hell.
And for multiple days.
They gave us one job.
And we lost
it. It was a big one, but I blew it.
Yeah. And for multiple days, they're trying to find. Imagine.
Can you? 3 days, dude.
3 days. Trying to figure out, where is my son?
Like, you just lost your regular kid.
Right.
You know, who's probably like.
We lost Leo recently.
Did you?
Yes. Dude, it was terrible. We lost him. Like, he went over to the neighbor's house, which he's allowed to. He got permission to go over to the neighbor's house. Neighbor kid had a motor scooter. And Leo, the thing about Leo is he loves motorcycles and scooters.
I know. You got a problem on your hands there.
Yeah. And the kid said, do you want to go on a ride? Leo was all like, it could be.
Yep, I'm going to Brahms.
Yeah, I'm going. And they went way, way out, like way too far.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Uh-huh.
Basically almost out of our neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Haley like panics. Where's Leo? No one knows where Leo is. We're driving around. We see Leo's bike at the neighbor's house where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there.
You start thinking the worst things.
Like, yeah. Why? Just a complete panic. For mm-hmm. 20 minutes, we are like trying to yelling Leo. Neighbors are like driving around trying to find Leo. Like we are in full DEFCON like 5 alert system here. And finally we find him. And he was like, oh, I just thought we were just going to go on a ride.
Yeah.
You know, he just.
What?
Yeah. It's like.
We're just going for a ride.
Yeah. But the panic.
You could go a long way on this thing.
The panic that we had.
Was in, yeah,
was
I can only imagine.
Incredible. And it was, this is 20 minutes. This isn't 3 days.
So it was all 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
In 20 minutes, let me tell you, 20 minutes is a long time when you think my kid is gone.
Yes. Yeah, and that maybe someone took him.
Right,
you know,
because
yeah.
like his bike is right there and he's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, getting a whole day out.
Yeah, man.
You know, and so like... Part of that was just a whole day of walking back to Jerusalem, wondering if, like, did you make the right decision? Was he actually in the caravan? Are we leaving him? Are we, you know, did we just do the worst thing? Like, was he really lost? Or did we just, are we being hasty in our running back to Jerusalem decision? Everything about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that Joseph... was just
a nervous like, wreck.
Mary, I'm sure, was panicked, but was resigned in her panic.
Right.
You know, like, Lord, it is your will for me to suffer panic now. And I
praise God.
I joyfully, yeah. I give you thanks.
Yes, for this moment.
For this moment of panic. And in that, I have peace in my
panic.
And
St. Joseph was over here hitting... nail every single nail possible with his hammer in frantic mode. Where is my son?
Right.
Like, he is freaking out.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm gonna have another dream. Yeah. I just know it.
I'm gonna be deaf.
Like, yeah. Exactly. I remember what they did to your cousin's husband.
I'm not gonna be able to talk for a long time.
Like, just, you know, like, Not that he had an inferiority complex, but if anybody had one, okay, right. Like
he didn't.
He would have been like the most reasonable dude to have one.
Sure.
You know, and he's like, great. I can't even do this. I only have one kid. The
Johnsons.
The Johnsons have 12.
Yeah.
And they don't lose any of them, you know?
Right.
I can't even keep track of one.
But imagine what happens is that she goes and sees him and Jesus says like, don't you know that I have my...
seems like kind of a... to me, I've always felt like this is kind of a snarky response.
Yeah.
You know?
At least in English, it comes off
that way.
Yeah.
You know, once again, the context,
but
how you say it.
Right.
But I think also, I do think he was almost a little admonishing them. Like, there is a little bit of correction here, like... Didn't you know? Like,
well,
you know who I am.
I didn't put this in there, but it's really beautiful. I think St. Ambrose actually talks about this, that because right afterwards he says, from then on, he obeyed them in all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he reflects on this and he says, like, how amazing it is that God obeys human, like, submits himself to human, to obey humans. And that humans have the sublime authority over God in this moment.
Sure. And this is like a mystery, something I don't certainly have the answer to, but it does seem like Jesus knew he should have been in the caravan. Or that, like, that was...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. All the story about how it happened,
right.
we don't know.
Okay,
but so here's what I want to bring like kind of circle back here is that like the like Mary internalized this and she realizes that, you know, Jesus is of the things of his father, mm-hmm. right? Like that this is the end.
This is one of the things she ponders in her heart
for the rest of the time.
Forever, yeah.
But that every time, like, if we ever are you know, feel like that we have lost Jesus, that we don't know where he is, that like where are you in my life right now? Mm-hmm. Like why do you feel so absent from me? Like why do you not feel close to me? That our mother is like her whole role, the end of the devotion to our mother is only to grow closer to that she brings us.
Right. Because devotion to her is not like in and of itself.
Right.
Have purpose.
Right.
It's only because she is the end actually
the purpose
is Christ.
Is Christ, yeah. The end is
Mariology
Christ.
Is always Christologic.
Yeah.
Is that the right Christologic? Christocentered?
Christocentric.
It's about Jesus.
It's about Jesus. Yeah.
We'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of trying hard words.
So like I think that so the beauty here is that Mary always leads us to Jesus. Right? And
yeah.
And so it's important for us as men, as fathers, to be leading our children, to our wives and our children, to Jesus.
Right.
Right. And how do we do that? But we cultivate this natural habit, these prayerful habits for our children to, like, when things are happening, we ask for Our Lady's intercession. When the ambulance is going by, you know, on the street with sirens blaring, that we ask for Our Lady's intercession for the first responders and for those who they're going to take care of,
mm-hmm.
with a Hail Mary, right? Yeah. Like that after Mass, we pray three Hail Marys in thanksgiving for receiving our Lord. That, you know, just things like that where we're teaching our children to go to Mary,
yeah.
in thanksgiving for our Lord.
One of my favorite things about Marian consecration,
yeah.
This comes from the St. Louis de Montfort Marian consecration, is that He gives recommendations for like ways to ongoing live your life. One of them is that as you're approaching our Lord to receive him in communion, in the Holy Eucharist, that you ask Mary to give you her heart so that you might love him the way she does, mm. and that you might receive him. And so that's a practice that I just think it's so beautiful. And mm-hmm. so when I'm in line, and when I remember, mm-hmm. which is maybe 50% of the time, but I'm always thankful, you know, so as I'm approaching him, talking to her and just asking her, yeah. plainly, just, Mary, give me your heart that I will love and receive him the way you do.
You do, yeah.
Because I just can't do it the way I ought.
Right.
I ought to do it better. And I just know that I won't and I can't.
Right.
But I know that you can.
Right.
And I know that I've consecrated myself to you for this moment.
Right.
Like this is the moment that you know, yeah. as you're sitting there about to receive him in the Eucharist. And so it's just such a beautiful it's a very beautiful practice.
Yeah. So I think I want to like just encourage you guys to like listen, we just went through the Joyful Mysteries. There's three more, right?
Yeah.
That you could go through and think about this throughout this month, and this would actually be a great practice to kind of go through to develop and mature your relationship with Mary through the month of May.
Yeah.
To go through the mysteries of the Rosary and think about like what is this mystery trying to tell me, and how do I incorporate that into my domestic life? One thing I just want to end with that I think is just so beautiful, but it's by John Sr. It's in the book called Restoration of Christian Culture. It's a great book. You should go check it out, and you will never watch TV again or have a TV in your house, at least. So, whether or not you...
At least you feel guilty about it.
Yeah. But he reflects... I was going to talk about St. Louis and Montfort and the consecration and all that stuff, but it's just like, we don't have time. Like, we've gone past time anyway. But I want to make sure to say this quote, because I just think that it's something that you can really take away and chew on like the rest of this month. And he says, what will it be like for us when we say the Hail Mary for the last time? When now is the hour of our death. And we must say amen, which means, as we know, so be it.
Hopefully it will be joyful.
Right.
I mean,
but this is like something like when is the last time, you know, as we're saying the Hail Mary for the last time.
That's just one of those things you don't, you know, everybody always thinks your death
is so far away,
right? Like, oh, but still that's, you know, far away. And maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
And in fact, maybe it will come quickly, and this moment described has already happened.
Right.
Maybe you already said your last. I mean, it's possible that you have already said it.
Right.
And like, it will happen quickly where you won't have time to say it again.
And what happens is, like, you say amen. Like, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Which I'm really glad to have said, you know, thousands and thousands of times. Mm-hmm. So that at the hour of my death, like, she will be there praying for me.
Yeah. Let's pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of love and compassion,
pray for us.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cheers.